Groups of fewer than 20 people who gather at the state capitol building are no longer required to obtain a permit. A federal judge ruled that the policy which required groups of four or more to get a permit was unconstitutional, and he put a temporary injunction on the enforcement of that policy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July 15th. In this week's State Capitol Report, we will talk with a Wisconsin ACLU attorney about the ruling and why he calls it a victory for free speech. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions. And we'll wonder if you think requiring 20 people to get a permit to rally at the state capitol is reasonable or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. Larry Dupuy is legal director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. He represented a UW assistant professor who sued the state, saying his First Amendment rights were being violated when police ticketed those taking part in the Solidarity sing-along. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. Well, why do you say that Judge William Conley's ruling was a victory for free speech?
Well, I think Judge Conley recognized the uniqueness of the public space of the Capitol Rotunda. His opinion is actually quite remarkable in terms of how it just is really expresses the uniqueness of the building historically and architecturally, and it's, you know, genuinely designed for public expressive activity, and it welcomes people in just by its very nature and design, and is even designed with in mind, having in mind that, you know, there are people working in other parts of the Capitol, but those are remote enough that the rotunda can still be used for public debate. So I think in some sense that recognition alone, and frankly, you know, really quite beautiful language in parts of this opinion, are a victory for free speech, because the state had tried to argue that the Capitol is essentially an office building, and therefore they have the ability to regulate it like an office building. So that was huge. But there are, of course, you know, the permit scheme itself being struck down, and at least at this preliminary phase, lifting the threshold at which you need to get a permit from 4 to 20 is a victory. I'm not sure we considered a final victory, because there was testimony at the preliminary injunction hearing that was pretty much unrebutted that really the number should be set considerably higher than that.
Considerably higher than 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that. Yeah, the judge ruled that groups of at least 20 or more still need to get a permit. You had told the Cap Times newspaper that you were hoping for a larger number than that. What number are you looking for?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question. There was testimony at the hearing by the former chief of Capitol Police, Charles Tubbs, who indicated that he thought you really needed to know, because you would make possible modifications to how you would staff the Capitol or something like that, at about 50 or so. And then the chief of the UW police, Susan Reisling, who had been in charge of sort of managing the Capitol Rotunda and interior areas during the large protests in February of 2011, testified that, I mean, first of all, UW doesn't even have a permitting scheme. They allow people to reserve space, but they don't require a permit. She testified that, you know, if you were going to set a threshold for a space like the Rotunda or the Capitol building, it would be closer to 100. So, you know, we think the number ought to be considerably higher, but I think the judge wanted to, you know, he didn't want to sort of dictate the final result, and this is a preliminary injunction. And there will be a trial in January, assuming we can't resolve the case by negotiation before then. So we're hoping that the number would go considerably higher.
The Department of Administration issued a release after this ruling, saying that it was saying it will not appeal this judge's ruling, but also said that the judge's ruling recognizes the need of requiring permits at the Capitol. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think that it's not necessary to use a permit system that is required in all cases for every expressive activity. I think you could use, and some, as the UW system does, including in Bascom Hall, a reservation system, which really means if you don't need to get a permit in advance, if the space is open, you get to use it. But if somebody does have a permit or a reservation, they get the space, and it, you know, obviously they get precedence and priority, kind of like when you call in and get a reservation at a restaurant. And our feeling is, why let the space go unused if somebody wants to use it? Certainly no restaurant would turn away a patron if they had tables open just because there was no reservation. So, I mean, we don't believe it's necessary. However, you know, the courts have often upheld permit schemes in various kinds of circumstances. And we do certainly agree that you need to have some mechanism for managing competing uses. I mean, you shouldn't allow one group to have a monopoly on the space. It's everybody's house, as some people have said, not just, you know, one group's house. So there needs to be some mechanism for managing access to the space. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I understand you represent one of the Solidarity Singers, which is this unorganized or somewhat unorganized group of protesters who will show up at the Capitol and sing primarily pro-union songs. And sometimes a few show up, other times a whole bunch show up, and it's usually around the noon hour. So how might this ruling affect them?
That's a good question. Our client, Michael Kissick, is a sometime singer. He does other kinds of expressive activity in the Capitol as well, but he does enjoy going to the sing-along when he can, which is not as often as some people because he's obviously on campus quite a bit, and that's a haul to get there at noon. And it's unclear to me. I mean, as you say, the sing-along varies in size. There will be days when it may well be below 20, and therefore they're not having a permit won't make a difference. But if it grows beyond 20, I suppose the Capitol Police may, as Judge Conley indicates they can, under the rules, declare the assembly an unlawful assembly and order people to disperse. And if they don't, they could be ticketed. So I don't know if, you know, the Capitol Police are going to want to appear that heavy-handed. They have not thus far. They've tried to ticket people without declaring an unlawful assembly and have tended to send tickets in the mail to people rather than make a scene at the Capitol. So I'm not sure what to expect, to be honest.
Some of the singers have received at this point a number of citations for violating the permit requirement. What happens to those citations now?
I kind of expected that question, but don't know the answer. And there are a number of lawyers who are representing various people who have participated in the sing-along and gotten tickets. And they've been looking at the opinion. I mean, I think at least for those people who received tickets for simply participating in an unpermitted event, my guess is that those tickets are going to have a hard time moving forward and may be dismissed. For those people who were ticketed for leading the sing-along, it's less clear to me. But it may well be that if they didn't anticipate 20 people or more coming, they might have an additional defense. But that's really speculation at this point, and I don't represent any of those people, so I don't really haven't really delved into that question.
Yeah, and so your representation of this University of Wisconsin-Madison professor is primarily over the claim that his free speech rights were violated.
Yeah, that his free speech rights were violated by basically his speech rights being suppressed. I mean, he was chilled, as the judge put it, and it's kind of a common legal term for it, is it chilled his free speech. He wasn't arrested or ticketed, but he was deterred from participating in the kinds of expressive activity he wanted to participate in by the threat of prosecution and arrest and ticketing. So that was, and obviously the threat was real. They, as you note, they were issuing large numbers of tickets starting in September after the new police chief, David Irwin, was put in place.
We are talking with Larry Dupuy. He is legal director for the ACLU of Wisconsin, talking about freedom of speech and the state capitol, and welcoming your thoughts and questions on this ruling last week from a federal judge in Madison who granted a preliminary injunction barring the Capitol Police from requiring permits for groups smaller than 20 who want to protest at the state Capitol building. The requirement for a time was a permit for four people or more. If they wanted to protest, they had to get a permit for four people or more. Now the number is 20, at least temporarily, as this case moves through the courts. What do you think of this ruling? Did the federal judge make the right or wrong call regarding the permit policy at the Capitol? Do you see this as a big win for free speech? Is requiring 20 people to get a permit reasonable, or do you think that's not reasonable? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be partly cloudy, very warm, a slight chance of storms this afternoon, a high temperature mainly in the mid to upper 80s. Coming up after 7:30, as our state capitol report continues, we will talk with Ron Seeley, who is with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, about the very latest on the proposed iron mine near Lake Superior and the controversy over the paramilitary-style guards that have been up there. That's coming up after 7:30.
But I also thought, as I was sitting here listening, that it might be helpful if, since we have so many people here from the sing-along, if we did a song, and I'm just hoping that that's going to be okay. I'm sure it'll take less than 3 minutes.
If you want to call out a number, as long as you can.
Wisconsin, whose motto was forward, was populist as it could be, but now the new motto is backward. Wisconsin to me.
That was Solidarity singer Greg Gordon and the Solidarity Singers, who were in attendance, testifying at a Department of Administration public hearing on Friday about creating emergency rules related to Capitol access. We are talking about Capitol access and Capitol permits and freedom of speech with Larry Dupuy, who is legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. He says that a judge's ruling last week was a victory for free speech. The judge ruled that the state could not require groups of fewer than 20 people gathering at the state capitol, could not require them to obtain a permit. More than 20, permit. Under 20, no permit needed. Larry Dupuy, the Friday hearing, was that related to this court case? It's unclear to me. There was a public hearing gathering testimony on access to the state capitol, and the Solidarity Singers were there to testify. Is that related to this case?
Well, indirectly, those rules are the rules that were enacted in April of 2013 as an emergency rule. And this, one of the things with emergency rules is you don't have to go through the public comment period before they go into effect, but you still have to do it at some point, and so now they're doing it after the fact. And those rules, although our lawsuit was about sort of the rules as interpreted through this document called the Access Policy or State Facilities Access Policy, the rules themselves don't limit themselves to application to the state capitol building. They also apply to all government-operated or at least DOA-operated state buildings. So the state office building in Milwaukee, where I live, is covered by that rule. But the rule does, in some ways, track some of the language that's in the access policy, and the access policy certainly refers back to the rule. And these are the rules that they use to prosecute and ticket people, such as the Solidarity Sing-Along people and other protesters. These are generally the rules that they use to issue those tickets. So it's related in some sense to the case. And, you know, interestingly, these emergency rules went into effect the day before our preliminary injunction hearing, and the state tried to argue that rendered our case moot, even though it didn't really, these rules didn't change anything. They maybe moved things around a little bit from where they were before, but didn't change anything we were challenging.
Let's go to Bruce in Hurley. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Joy. Thank you very much for taking my call. Yes, I wanted to say that it seems to me that the number involved in permitting is probably a necessary thing administratively. But I'm not a lawyer, but I'm wondering if constitutionally whether the behavior is more important, that when one is expressing their First Amendment rights, that they should be peaceable and should be orderly. But on the other hand, the important thing is that and not how many people are there.
Larry Dupuy.
Hi, Bruce. Yeah, I actually think that is a very good point, and it's something that we pointed out in our papers, and actually the judge recognized that they have other tools for dealing with people who are disruptive, and that really should be sort of the main issue is, yeah, I mean, expressing yourself, freedom of speech doesn't entitle you to you know, interfere with legitimate activities that are going on in the Capitol. And the judge recognized that, but there are sort of the reason for permit schemes, and in our view, a reservation system would do this just as well, a voluntary permit scheme, if you will, is the need to sort of make sure that they're regulating access to the Capitol in a way that's even-handed. So if, you know, if two large groups want to be there at the same time, well, they may not fit. Or there may be, you know, sort of getting people in and out, and if there were a fire or something like that. So there may be safety issues. And so at some point, it seems that the government probably has a legitimate interest in knowing that a large group is going to show up. And so that's, I think that's sort of where the courts have said, have approved permit systems for even large spaces, even outdoor large spaces. One of the leading cases is an outdoor park in Chicago. So permit schemes, although, as the judge noted, they sort of invariably chill speech because they require people to apply, you know, that they have to go through a process that takes time, and they have to fill out forms and all of those things that may deter them from speaking in the first place, and we think, especially for small groups that who may, for whatever reason, be outside the mainstream and therefore targets of government harassment or even private harassment, they're unlikely to be willing to surrender their anonymity, which is required by applying for a permit. You have to give your name and the name of your group, That alone can chill speech, especially for sort of fringe groups.
Is there any way that the state can regulate the volume of that speech, or whether it's singing or whether it's bullhorns or whether it's something else?
Yeah, absolutely they can. That's actually in the it's been in the rules for decades that they can limit the volume of the speech. Or any activity in the Capitol, really. It wouldn't have to just be speech. It could be drums or, you know, electric guitars or whatever. There's a threshold at which that becomes a violation.
Yeah. Carol on Facebook writes, even a permit for 20 is unreasonable, so a busload of seniors can't stop to visit. And if people just show up and there are more than 20, does that mean everyone has to leave? What's the deal with that?
That's a good question, although I think the way the judge's opinion works, and actually some of the exceptions in the rule themselves, tourist groups, at least tourist groups that are not themselves engaging in expressive activity, are exempt because they're not, that's just conduct is sort of the way the courts look at it. And sort of being there without expressing something is viewed as somewhat different. So people who walk through to go to the to see their representative, for example, or
right. We have less than 30 seconds. What's your hope as this case proceeds?
Well, I'm hopeful. Obviously, I'm always hopeful that a decision like this will help the government see the light and possibly be willing to negotiate for what's a reasonable approach to all of this. And we'd really love to see them open the Capitol more than even the judge's ruling has so far. And if not, we'll see the state in court again in January.
Thank you so much for being with us. Larry Dupuy is legal director for the ACLU of Wisconsin.